morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here this morning, living and breathing. It's a blessing every day that we have to wake up and to be a part of this side of life. I guess I would say that's a statement that not everybody acknowledges and not everybody can appreciate. Mm-hmm. There are some, I imagine, who wake up every day just thinking, oh my goodness, I wish God had taken me in my sleep and spared me from, the anguish, the torment, whatever struggles they're going through in life. And I would imagine, well, I'll just speak for myself, that there was a time where, depression ruled the day. And I found it difficult to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for the fact that I had to work in order to feed and clothe and support myself, I probably would have just stayed there in that room. Mm-hmm. But the reason why those of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ, who are believers of the gospel, not just of Christ but the gospel of God, can make that statement that it is a blessing to wake up every day is because we have the hope of a new day.
Right.
We have a hope of eternal life that awaits each and every one of us, mm-hmm. if we live faithfully until death.
Yeah.
I say that knowing full well that every day isn't like the day before, and every day today isn't like the day that will come after it. There will be, as we've talked about before, peaks and valleys in the road. There will be good days. There will be bad days.
Right.
But again, if you believe in what the scripture says, that there is a place in Revelation, the 21st chapter, where it says that there is no sorrow, there is no tears, there is no pain, there is no discomfort. And if you believe that the only way to get to that place is to wake up every day, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, as the old saying goes, but really just relying upon the power and the grace of God to motivate you to put one step in front of the other. And if you do that faithfully,
right,
until the day that you don't wake up, that crown of life, that new place, that new heaven, that new Jerusalem that's spoken of in the book of Revelations will be yours.
Amen.
There is a movement, and I'm not going to get political because, again, this time, this place, this pulpit is not designed for politics. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that,
amen,
no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. So I'm not going to do that at all today. But I do want to talk about the reality of the situation. The title of my lesson is Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And those are three beautiful words. I looked them up. Diversity, a synonym for diversity is variety, rather. And that's a truthful statement because there is a variety. There's a cornucopia of individuals that makes up this world. We're not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Equity, fairness. That's a beautiful word too. We all want to be treated fairly, and I would say that we all strive to be fair in our dealings with people who we come in contact with. And inclusion, another beautiful word. It means to bring individuals into the same group, into the same family, and I think that's a beautiful statement too. I mean, who wouldn't want to be included? I mean, you look at what human beings strive to do. We want to be a part of something great. We want to be a part of a team. As a matter of fact, those things are built into our DNA. But I would say that one thing that comes along with this diversity, this equity, and ultimately this inclusiveness is an agreement on one thing. There has to be an agreement on one thing. There has to be an agreement that there is only one source of truth. Mm. If there are multiple sources of truth, then we can't all be a part of the same team. If there are multiple sources of truth, then
right,
we can't all be the same, because my truth is different from your truth. You know, you may think because my truth, your truth is the truth, and thus my truth is false, you know, that there can't be any equity, and we can't look beyond our differences if there isn't one source of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the struggle, the reality of the situation today and in these times, is that we can't agree on anything. We can't agree on, you know, what flag we should, you know, raise on a flagpole. We can't agree on, you know, who we are as a people. We can't agree on the God that we pray to. We can't agree on if there is a God, period. And that's the fallacy, I guess, of the world's pursuit of diversity, equity, and ultimately inclusion. But we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way for all of us who are diverse in various and in multitude of ways. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only source where we can find fairness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture tells us that, you know, what is the word of, or excuse me, what is our Father? He is the righteous judge.
Mm-hmm.
And he judges everything. The scripture tells us that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inclusion. We know that it is only through the word of God that we can all be included into the family of God.
Right.
You know, I if you have a Bible and you care to flip with me, in the book of Revelations, the seventh chapter, it talks about the 144,000, the 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel that, you know, were sealed, if you will, that had this signification of, it says in verse number 3 that they were sealed as the servants of God, and they had this seal upon their foreheads. And, you know, one may think, well, it's only 144,000, and they could only be, this 144,000 was only 12,000 of the 12 tribes. And if I'm not a part of the 12,000 of the 12 tribes, then where is the diversity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those 144,000 does not represent the diversity of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's only 144,000 who are sealed and make it to heaven, then where is the fairness in that?
Mm-hmm.
And then where is the inclusiveness in that? Now, we know that there is a religious, and I use that, and for those who can't hear me, you know, I say that with air quotes, or those who can't see me, rather, I say that with air quotes, that believe that you're absolutely right. There's only going to be 144,000. The word of God is only confined to these 144,000.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on and read in verse number 9, it says, John, as he's receiving this revelation, he says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood shoulder to shoulder." Well, the Bible doesn't say shoulder to shoulder, but what it says is they stood before the throne of, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, and it says that they were clothed with white robes and psalms in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what it's saying here is that every nation, every people, and every tongue, you know, this DEI, the variety, you know, there wasn't one who stood before the other. They were all standing before the throne and before the Lamb as servants, as you can go on to read here. It says in verse number 15, it says, "Therefore, as they before the throne of God serve him day and night in his temple,
mm-hmm.
and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, mm-hmm. neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And who is this, and where, who are the benefactors of this loving mercy and this grace? It's this great multitude that can't be numbered, that comes from all the four corners of the world. But they all believe in one truth, do they not?
Yes.
I mean, there is an agreement on one truth, that God is who he says he is, and that God is able to reward those who diligently seek him. Okay, wow, you may say, well, where is that coming from? Well, Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse number 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who cometh to God, again, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, what is faith? Or what faith are we talking about? Well, we can go back and look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, starting at verse number 4, where it says that there is only one Lord, one faith, one hope, and one baptism. Well, Romans, the 10th chapter, tells Romans 10:17. Well, what does that say? Well, that tells us, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, what word of God are we speaking of? Because there are various versions. Let me rephrase that. There are men who have taken the word and contorted it to fit their own personal needs. You know, we can go back and read Galatians, the 1st chapter. And while we didn't read the particular verses I'm going to speak of, but Paul says that if any man or any angel preach any other gospel or any other word than that which I have preached, than that which we have preached unto you, I'm using the different tense here, let him be accursed. You know, there is only one source of truth, and that's the word of God. And those who are going to be a part of this DEI, this diversity, this equity, the inclusiveness of those who will stand before the throne of God, those who will inhabit this place where God will wipe away their tears, where there will be no sorrow, no pain. You know, this place that motivates us to wake up every morning and do what thus saith the Lord, all of those people, all those individuals, all of us have to have the one faith that's rooted and founded in the one word, the one gospel that's written here in this book. I say all that to say this, that it is tough for people to come together. I think about my wife and I. You go back and look at the book of Genesis. We talked about it last Lord's Day. Genesis, the 2nd chapter, God saw that it was not right for Adam to be alone. You know, even from the very beginning, God wanted us to be a part of a family. He saw that we're not solitary creatures, right? So what did he do? He put Adam into a deep sleep. He took a rib, and he formed from that rib Eve. And Adam, when he saw this, he said, you know, now that you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, I will call you woman because you came from a man. Moses, making an account of this, he said, therefore, because of this, you know, this, we talked about it, this sealing of two individuals into one flesh, he said that a man should separate himself from his mother and his father and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, Heather and I are completely different. I was thinking about this today. I was making fun of her. Well, not making fun of her, I shouldn't say that, but I was making fun of some of the TV shows she likes to watch. She likes to watch these old, you know, Elizabethan melodramas, you know, this lovey-dovey, puffed-up stuff, and I just can't find any. Anyway, it annoys me to watch that because I know it's fictional. You know, thee, thou, and thus, and you know, chivalry and all that. And, you know, I think about that, and I was like, that's not reality. But I understand that that's how she likes to. That's her form of entertainment. I respect it. Me, I like sports. Now, my wife will tell you that even that is a fictional, and I know it's fictional. I mean, you know, rah, 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 score a touchdown, hit home runs, all that. It's fictional, but that's my form of entertainment. My point being is we are two individuals, but the scripture says that when I said, I will take you as my wife, you know, thinking then, you know, for better or for worse, till death do us part, when we came together in holy matrimony, you know, these two separate, different individuals became one person.
Yes.
And that's what the scripture says. Even more so, the scripture says that I don't have power over my own body except for her, mm-hmm. and she doesn't have power over her body except for me. Meaning, we are in control of one another. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the rub. We're two different. If Heather were in control of me, or she is in control of my body, as the scripture says, and I'm just going through this mental exercise here. Think about if your significant other was in control of you. Meaning, you know, you did what he or she said, you ate what he or she told you to eat, you dressed how he or she told you to dress. How would your day go? Just think about it in your own mind's eye. What would you be doing? Well, you would probably be doing something differently than what you would enjoy personally.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second. I say all that to say this, that these two individuals who think differently, who are to be one flesh, one being in control of the other, and vice versa. There has to be an agreement on something in order for that to work.
Amen.
You know, the only reason why Heather trusts me, and the only reason why I trust Heather, is because I know fundamentally that there is one thing that we agree on.
Mm-hmm.
We may disagree on what to watch on the television. We may disagree on what to eat. We may disagree on how to spend our money. But there's one thing we have to agree on.
Amen.
And we all know what that is, but I would like you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians, the sixth chapter. And we'll start reading at Brother People. Can you do this for me? Can you read from verse 15 to verse 20? 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter.
Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Stop right there. Thank you, brother. Know ye not that our bodies are a manifestation of diversity, equity, and inclusion? Every part of your body is different from the other. I mean, yeah, you have two eyes, but, you know, one is the left and the other is the right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have two hands, but last time I checked, one is the left and one is the right. Mm-hmm. Same with the ears, same with the feet. You've got 10 fingers and 10 toes, but they all are different in some way. Our bodies are a manifestation of multiple individual members coming together, having equity and fairness, because each of our separate parts of the body serves a purpose which serves the whole.
Right.
Right? I eat, I put food into my mouth, I chew it, I digest it. Where do those nutrients go? They go to every single part of the body, even my pinky toe or even my pinky finger.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My pinky isn't involved in digestion, but it's in all fairness, does it not get the nutrients that it needs to serve its role as a pinky finger?
Mm-hmm.
It's included as a part of the whole. And what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, he says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Now, why would he say that? Why doesn't the body of Christ, why is the body of Christ and the body of a harlot, why are they described as two different things? Well, they're described as two different things because there's two different sources of truth. See, the point of the matter is I can't be in the body of Christ and believe in something other than Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture tells us that is the definition of an antichrist, is one who does not confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe in that truth, if you don't believe in the truth of the oneness of God, the oneness of hope, the oneness of baptism, the oneness of the gospel, the one only begotten Son of God who came to this earth, who died on the cross, was buried in the ground, rose again the third day, went down into the depths of hell, overcame sin and death, and ascended up into heaven and sits on the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe in that truth, then you're not a part of the body of Christ. You're a part of the body of the harlot. He says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot, one who agrees in the truth of the harlot, is bound to that harlot? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the book of Revelations, it talks about the mother of harlots. You know, how is the mother of harlots described? Well, and again, you can go back and look at it in Revelations, the 17th chapter. It talks about Babylon,
mm-hmm,
being the mother of harlots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the interesting things about the Babylonians is they practiced DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know how they did that? I'll explain to you. And you can go back and read the history books. What they did was when they conquered various countries, you know what they did is they took the best of every country,
mm-hmm,
even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought all of these various, you know, countries that they conquered, the best of every kind, they brought them into the fold. Now, if you go back and read the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar had a problem on his hands, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
The problem that he had was, is while they practiced DEI, they accepted all sources of truth. And it started to erode into the power structure that King Nebuchadnezzar was ahead of. So what happened was, is his wise men told him, you know, we need to nip this in the bud. We need to make you a king. We need to, and not just a king, we need to make you a god,
hmm,
such that every word that comes out of your mouth is the only source of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that the nation hears the sound of the sackbut and the psaltery,
mm-hmm,
we are all going to bow down in obeisance to you.
Mm-hmm.
Except three men did not accept this source of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I go back to, again, what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. He says in verse number 17, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Now, I love that, because what is he saying? It's not saying, you know, one specific type or one specific person. It says just plainly, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Now, what does it say in Romans, the 2nd chapter, starting at, we can start reading at verse number 9. It says, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Mm-hmm. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Mm-hmm. For there is no respect of persons with God." Now, what does that mean? Well, it means two things. It means that God doesn't prefer one type of individual, one type of person over another. Mm-hmm. You know, God looks at all of his children evenly. Now, that was not always the case. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, what did he say? He said that, you know, his covenant, rather, was only with those. And we read this last Lord's Day, mm-hmm. The book of Genesis, you know, where Abraham, the signification of the promise that God gave Abraham was that every man child that was born, or every man child that was bought, mm-hmm. whether they be a servant or otherwise, every man child at the eighth day had to be circumcised. The foreskin had to be cut, mm-hmm. as a signification that they were a part of the covenant. If a man child was not circumcised, then what did it say? The scripture said that they had no part, mm-hmm. and they were to be cast out. Mm-hmm. God didn't always practice diversity, equity, and inclusion. But all glory be to God, and that is not to say that he didn't love all mankind, it's just his promise was just to the Jews, but God has opened up, he has given all of us access to his family through the gospel of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And again, it says very plainly here that glory, honor, and peace goes to every man that worketh good. Mm-hmm. For God is not a respecter of persons. So the flip side is that not just that God doesn't prefer a particular person, but his punishments, mm-hmm. are not reserved for one particular person, mm-hmm. or a group of people. It says in verse number 12, "For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reason why when we get to chapter 3 and verse number 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Which is the reason why Jesus came to this earth to begin with. Mm-hmm. The reason why he had to die. Mm-hmm. The reason why his blood had to be shed. The reason why men like Paul had to come into this world. If you have your Bibles, let's go back and look at the scripture reading, and I'll conclude. Galatians, the first chapter, starting at verse number 3. Paul wrote, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, mm-hmm. according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Mm-hmm. What about this truth that we all have to agree? What is the truth the truth of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel tells us, says that God the Father, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, came to this earth to save all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Not just some of us, but all of us. You know, Paul goes on to talk about, and I really want to say thank you to Brother People for reading this. Because in verse number 11, Paul talks about this gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why did he have to provide proof of the words that he was spoken? Because in verses 6 through 10, what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
As I just mentioned, he said that don't listen to any other gospel,
mm-hmm,
other than, he said, don't listen to any angel, even any spiritual being that preaches any other truth,
mm-hmm,
than that which Jesus gave to his apostles. Don't believe him, because it's accursed. So he goes on to say, listen, my study Bible, well, in verse 11, he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, but I learned it by revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes on, I love what he says in verse number 15. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb,
mm-hmm,
and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll just say it in my, well, the scripture is true, you know, this is how I'm hearing it, rather. It says, it pleased God,
mm-hmm,
for me to be born,
mm-hmm,
to get to this point,
mm-hmm,
where I'm able to preach the gospel to you.
Right.
You know, if God didn't know, you know, in the book of Romans it says that we are predestined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those who God called, God also predestined them to be servants. Well, this is proof positive that Paul, or Saul,
mm-hmm,
was predestined, mm-hmm, to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. For he even acknowledges that it pleased God for me to be born into this world, such that I would be on the road to Damascus, such that God would reveal himself, such that I would receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, such that this gospel that I could be preached would be preached unto you. And who was Paul's main audience? The Gentiles. You and I. Those who, you know, we're not part of the Jewish diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
Now go back to say that God had predestined this man before he was born to be an apostle to the Gentiles.
Amen.
What a beautiful thing.
That's beautiful.
But we have to believe in the immutable fact that God is who he says it, and that it is impossible for God to tell a lie.
Mm-hmm.
What brings us all together? I mean, we're different ages, different heights, different backgrounds, socioeconomics, whatever the case may be. Well, what makes us one body? What binds us together? Is we all agree in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We all agree in the faith. We all agree in the gospel. You know, the scripture tells us, let the truth be spoken, truth in love. And I believe that's how the verse goes. I don't have it marked here for you this morning, but again, we're all bound by a love of God. How were the various congregations. Galatia was a mixed, I use that in air quotes, right? There were Jews and Gentiles, black and white, rich and poor, in Galatia, in Ephesus, in Corinth. What prompted them to take all of what they had and to share it with their Jewish brethren in Jerusalem? If not for the fact that they felt, if not for the fact that they believed that they, that those individuals were a part of their family. I can call Brother Laura my brother because he is my brother. Because we're all part of the same body.
Yeah.
We're all part of the same family because we were all baptized into by the same truth and the same faith. We're all sealed with the same spirit. You know, and the scripture tells us that we are all individuals, but members together. We now know what it means, is that the variety of the gospel, or sorry, the variety of the body of Christ, you know, this equity, this fairness that we all share with one another because we're all sinners, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all servants of God. We're all, as it says in the book of Revelation, we're all going to be a part of that multitude that stands before the throne and the Lamb. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, the mother of the sons of Zebedee,
mm-hmm.
right? Where she went to Christ and said, hey, when you die, you know, put my son on one end and one on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ said, hey, I can't do that because it's not my throne. I don't have the ability to put anybody in a position. It's God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I digress. But the point is that fairness and the inclusiveness, you know, DEI, this diversity, equity, inclusion, truly can only be found in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
You can't find it out there. Because what's out there? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. Those are all self-serving affections. And the scripture tells us that our love, the thing that binds us, is a love of self-sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
The golden rule. Treat others as you would have them treat you. Isn't that, you know, in the spirit of diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Right.
But mankind out there in the world can't come to truly understand what that means.
Amen.
Without being exposed to the truth that's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning, and there is a fault, there is a challenge, there is an issue that's going on in your life, just understand, as the scripture said, as the scripture says, that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the midst. And your Father, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is in the midst. And we can speak to them through the Holy Spirit in prayer. So if you're here this morning and you need forgiveness, you need repentance, you need spiritual strength to overcome a fault, we will sing a song of invitation. And immediately afterwards, the floor will be open to anyone who'd like to make a request. We also know, again, as been stated in the lesson, that we're all bound together by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if anyone who is not a Christian, who desires to be a Christian, needs to be taught first,
Amen.
What thus saith the Lord, must believe it, must repent, must confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, be baptized. Acts, the second chapter, and verse number 38, which, by the way, and I'm just going to digress for a second, but it's been on my mind, just trying to figure out how I was going to fit it in, but I'll just throw this out here in bonus time. In Acts, the second chapter, all of the Jews of the entire Jewish diaspora came together for the Pentecostal sermon because that was customary for Jews to do this.
Right.
How and why were they able to do that? Because they all agreed in one truth.
Right.
They were all Jews. They were all circumcised. They all believed in God. They all believed in their father Abraham. So when Peter and the apostles stood up speaking all the various tongues, languages.
Yes.
It says that they were pricked to the heart when they heard that they had just crucified the very Savior that had been prophesied by all the men that they believed in the Old Testament Scripture. And it says they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And one must live faithfully until death in order to obtain a crown of life." So thank you very much for your time and attention. Will you please be standing as we sing the song of invitation.